Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. It is another gorgeous, windy, and extremely cold day here in Connecticut. But I'm assuring you that the dialogue that is about to take place will be warming your heart. Joining me later on, and he's hanging out in the virtual green room, is Mr. Lee Bauer, and he's going to be sharing an amazing story about legacy. So if you or anyone that you know have experienced any kind of adversity where you have lost a loved one in any way to a terminal disease or by accident or anything, this is the episode for you. So why don't you tweet, text, and call everyone you know and tell them to join on to the blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. Or you are welcome to call 646-915-8166.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I want to be more than just somebody. I want to be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand. Yeah.
Hey, you know, as always, it is always an opportunity for me to show gratitude when I get the opportunity to be on this broadcast with you. But it always warms my spirit when I hear of phenomenal legacies that have been created across our world, and more so in our community. Well, you all know that 2 weeks ago, I was blessed to be part of an event known as Awesomeness Fest. And for those of you who have known me for a while, you know that I like to talk and I like to meet new friends. And one thing about me is that I'm obedient to the inclination of the Spirit. And one morning as I lay on the beach at yoga class, the Spirit reminded me that I needed to speak with Lee. And Lee was one of the speakers at the event, and we got into a conversation over lunch, and I was just so excited to hear about the things he was doing, but more so about a story that impacted his family. And in a minute, I will bring him on live. And for those of you who might be listening on your telephone or online, remember you can call in at any time with your questions. The number is 646-915-8166. And for those in the chat room, feel welcome to type your questions in that little box below, and I will read it for you. Now, before we go, you all remember that I have the breakfast feeding program, which is at my former elementary school in Jamaica, West Indies. And we are working on getting a cruise together to go on the Norwegian Epic, June the 14th through the 22nd. And you can gather more information from the cruise consultant who is working on this for us. And her name is Tot Olinda Begg. You can reach her at 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. We are honestly depending on you to get a hot meal in the stomach of these 100 students at the Carmel Moravian School. So not only am I depending on you, they too are depending on you. So now, without any further delay, I want to bring on my honored guest, Mr. Lee Bauer. Hello, Lee. How are you, sir?
Hello, Daphne. I'm absolutely wonderful. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful. And your lovely wife, Lori, I know she's listening in. And thank you, Lori, for setting this time aside. Well, Lee, I'm so honored because we're going to be having you back in December, early December. As a matter of fact, on my birthday, December the 11th.
Oh.
Yeah. So
well, I get to celebrate your birthday with you. How fun is that?
What wonderful thing. But I'm so honored that you have accepted this invitation to share about your darling son and just to tell us a little bit about him. So why don't you please go ahead and introduce your family, and then we are going to delve right into your son's story.
Well, I'm very blessed to have a marvelous family, and I think that's an understatement at best. And so we have Lori is my wife, and she's listening. We have 8 children, including Nick, who's passed away. And we've just been very blessed to have some marvelous children and just a great life and in many ways, and not without the struggles that a lot of families have, not just with the illness, but with the normal occurrences of kids growing up and being teenagers and going through the things that teenagers do and putting parents through the trials that they have. And I think we've experienced just about everything now. So it's been a wonderful, it still is a wonderful learning ride.
Wonderful. You know, Lee, I'm so glad that you took this time to lay this foundation, because families would not be families without those experiences. So if there's any family who is listening and they have not yet gone to that experience or experiences, they should be requesting that they experience that really soon, because, you know, those are the experiences that help us to value each family member. And I'm sure those experiences has embraced the acceptance of Nick's legacy that we are here to celebrate and to talk about. So out of the 8, what number was Nick?
Well, Nick was number 6 mm-hmm. out of mm-hmm. the 8. He's our youngest son. And mm-hmm. And so he was 18 years old when we found out that he had cancer. And it took us a while before we figured out what it was. But around Valentine's Day in 2007, he was complaining because he took an elbow in the basketball game. He was a senior in high school. And just a backyard game, and we thought he had a bruise on his cheekbone. And it continued. It didn't hurt. He just said it felt like pressure. And Later on in April, we took a family trip, and by the time we got back, his eye was swollen shut, and we had in the meantime we'd gotten X-rays on his, you know, to see if he broke a bone in his cheek, and there was no indication. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, well, maybe his wisdom teeth was coming in, and we got that checked, and there was no indication. But by the time we got back from vacation, his eye was swollen shut. And we got him to an eye, ear, nose doctor right away, and he immediately alerted us, and that very same day got us to see a specialist, and it didn't take too long before they diagnosed it as a very rare form of cancer that had taken lodging in his sinuses, and about the size of a baseball, and very aggressive, very fast-growing, and so our lives changed. I mean, our world turned completely upside down, and within a couple of days, and the venture began.
I can't even begin to imagine, and I am sure I'm saying this on behalf of the listeners, to be told this devastating story of a young man, only 18, he's only just begun his life. And as I listen to you share this story, Lee, it just affirmed in me the importance of us just embracing each minute that we have with someone. Just find all the precious portion of that minute, that second, and enjoy it, because one never knows.
No, there's, you know, we... The one thing that we know about life is that we know that it's uncertain, and we do take life for granted. And like you say, what we came away from that, you know, I think any tragedy or any challenge of this nature or anything close to that, human challenges, you come out of them changed. And if you always make your learning greater than the experience, you can hate the experience with all your heart. But when you get far enough down the line and you look back on the experience, you can love the learning that has occurred. And you can still hate the experience, but love the learning. And I think that's what we learned to do.
That's right.
So I think one of the things that prepared us was in our home, we set a tradition years ago that before you could complain, you had to, it was just a rule in the house, you had to say three positive things. So if our kids came home from school, and they started to, you know, we'd say, how was your day? And they started to say, oh, this is bad or this is bad. Then Lori, who was kind of the sergeant at arms, she was the one that kind of kept us on task there. She would say, you know, before you can complain, you need to have three things that you can say that you're positive, you know, positive about. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you say three things, when you actually stop and think about three positive things that you're grateful that happened, usually the negative goes away. So one blessing that was in our lives, and our son's name was Nick, and the one blessing that Nick brought to our lives was that he had a great ability to see the positive things around him, and that he had kind of inherited through our tradition in our family. And I think it was just in not only that, but some people just, it's amazing the human spirit, what happens when they're faced with adversity, the strength that it has, and how it rises up. But for Nick, it was his ability to see the positive. He would not allow negativity to be around him. He would not allow us to ever, you know, he would not give cancer any power. He told the doctors that as long as he has a 1% chance, the odds were in his favor, and that they were not to talk about odds or percentages. So he went into it with an amazing attitude that was inspiring to the entire family.
Yes. And this, you know, the little things that we do every day in our lives, I don't think we take the time to understand the impact it has, because had your family not begin to program each member of the family to show gratitude and be appreciative, who knows when that adversity hits, the road that each family would take. You know, last November, I had a similar experience. I was in Jamaica last summer for 9 weeks, and my son's godfather, I was conducting some business, and as a man, I wanted his opinion on what we were doing. And one day, it was kind of of too late, and I said to him, Joy, let us leave that for tomorrow. And he says, no, I want to do it tonight. And as he took my son and he went into details to explain to my son about certain process you do as a man and to look for what result. And he was giving me certain information to write down, and I said to him, I don't need to write it down now, because when we make the final decision, you are going to be here with us. And Lee, he said to me, Daphne, write it down, because I don't know about that. I don't know that I am going to be here when you are ready to make the final decision. Lee, the man died a week after that. He was healthy. He was healthy while I was there. And I said to my son, I said, Givante, I am so happy to Jamaica and spent this time this summer, and that I was able to spend some quality time with Uncle Joel, because we had not seen each other for a long time. And the lesson I got out of that is not to take anything for granted. Don't procrastinate on things. Just do what I can do right now. And so long as I continue to do that, I don't think the universe is going to give me any regrets.
Well, isn't that what we all strive for? I think at the end of the day, if we really understand how life works, and that to me, our thinking is, my thinking, our family's thinking is, and our faith teaches us that, you know, life is the perfect school. And the experiences that we go through are temporary. They're for a moment, but they're for our learning. And so as we progress through this experience and continue to learn, then and it's hard at times. I mean, when we watched what Nick went through, you know, the radiation that was so severe that they would have to dress in hazmat suits to deliver it to him, and the radiation that would burn his throat and where he had to be fed through a tube. And then during all of that time, though, the interesting things were, like, he'd always had a love for horses, but he just had an allergy around horses, so he never was able to ride them, but the chemo killed the allergy. So when that happened, he went out and aggressively went after learning how to rope and ride, and became a great rider of horses. He finished three semesters of school. He became an apprentice with the professional hockey team. He flew a helicopter. He flew the Apache helicopter. He had never. He wanted to parachute out of an airplane. He jumped out of an airplane, did a double somersault, did it twice. So he kept himself very focused and very busy, you know, going forward. And so it was a roller coaster ride in so many ways. And it was. I think sometimes it's more difficult. I don't know if it's more difficult but it's very difficult for the caregivers, for the family that loves him.
Because
we feel helpless. You want to do something to alleviate the pain, and you can't.
Exactly. But I'm sure as he lived his life the best way he could at the time, I'm sure between the tears were several moments of joy and laughter. And you know, that can complement the family going forth and say, well, you know, we can look back at this. You remember when he came out of the aeroplane. You remember when he went riding. And you have all those special moments to share. And I am sure there are some families who are listening right now who is going to find some peace from you sharing this story, because there are many people who are not able to put semi-closure, and I don't know that there can be closure, but I think we can use the joy and peace to cover that aching hole that we have in our hearts. I know for my friend Joel, I did a special radio show that was dedicated to his life and all the work he was doing. And I was so excited when people called from England, from Canada, all over, from Jamaica, from Trinidad and Barbados, people who knew him and know the work he did to touch people's lives. So that's one legacy that we have to hold for him. So,
well, I think you're absolutely go ahead, ask your question.
No, go ahead, Lee. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this. And we have the time, and to give your listeners a little bit more background.
Yes.
You know, I think that you know that I was in the movie The Secret,
mm-hmm.
and I was the gratitude rock guy. Well, I did not know I was in that movie, and until it was out. And that's the,
isn't
so
that something?
I got a call one day from somebody, and they said. I just wanted to, I didn't know them, and they said, I just want to thank you. I just saw this movie, and you were in it, and your story about the gratitude rock has really impressed me, and it's a takeaway. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, it's this movie. It's called The Secret. And I said, well, it's a secret to me. And and I had forgotten that I had been in that movie, and they had been emailing me, but I'd been getting email from The Secret, and I just put it in my trash basket because I didn't know what I thought it was somebody trying to sell me a secret.
You thought it was spam.
Yeah, exactly. And so
so then I
brought it home, and Nick and Lori and I watched this movie together. And after the movie, the next day, I said, Nick, I said, what did you think about that movie? He said, I can't get it out of my mind. Now, this is before he got cancer. This is like a year and a half before he got cancer.
Wow.
And I said, what are you going to do about it? And he said, I'm going to play hockey. I said, Nick, you've never played hockey in your life. How are you going to play hockey? Because I'm going to go out for the team. And I said, okay. So he called his uncle. His uncle sent out, his uncle played hockey, and so he sent out his equipment. And Nick would go down, and he would visualize himself as a hockey player. And so he put up pictures in his room. He would go down and he would skate, and he would just keep practicing. And so he went out for the hockey team, and somehow he made it. And
wow.
I remember the first game that we went to watch him, he was the one that was going full speed ahead. He did not know how to stop. And so he would crash into the boards at one end. He'd get up, and he'd race down to the other end and crash, and he just threw his heart into it.
Wow.
Well, the week before we went on vacation, when we found out that he had cancer,
mm-hmm.
he was named to the All-Star team. And that gives
wow.
you an idea on his character, you know, and his attitude,
yes.
and his positive
yes.
attitude.
Yes.
And as we went through the process of going through this, at the end of the first year, which involved of all this treatment and everything that was going on, we went to a doctor in New York City, and that doctor, there was only two specialists in the nation that were supposed to be the experts on this type of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were at the hospital, and the doctor met with us, and he said, Nick, we need to go in and do surgery and take out your nose, your teeth, your eye. That's the only way we're going to prevent this cancer from getting to your brain. And if we don't do that, it'll go to your brain, and it's a horrific way to die. And that's just the way he said it, no bedside manner whatsoever.
Mm.
We flew then up to Dana-Farber in Boston and met with that doctor, and he said, whatever you do, don't do that surgery.
Wow.
So now we have the two experts.
You've
and
been
both
two
saying
up in
one
here.
Or the other. And so Nick said, well, all right, well, I'm going to think about this. He said, I'll make up my mind on Tuesday. And what he decided to do is because they had gone in and done a biopsy and still found the cancer in there, but there was a lot of dead tissue from the chemo and the radiation. So he said, he allowed them, he said, all right, I want them to go in and clean out the dead tissue that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to tell, however bad that cancer is, if it's really bad, I'll give them permission to take out my eye, my nose, my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so they went in, and they couldn't find cancer anywhere.
Wow.
And we were like, that was miracle number one, okay?
Wow.
And out of that, then, when Nick left there, he then went to a camp for cancer, young adults living with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And as he went to camp for young adults living with cancer, he came back from that so touched. This organization was called First Descents, and they provide outdoor activities for that demographic of young adults. And he was so impressed. He says, I need to do something to support the research for cancer and to support activities for young adults. And so he started by creating a foundation that he called just Nick's Warriors. He called created a charity.
Wow.
And then he didn't want it to be about him, so he changed the name from Nick's Warriors to Warriors Against Cancer in Kids and Young Adults, and which if you take the first letter of each of those words, it spells wacky.
Mm-hmm.
And so he created the Wacky Foundation, which carries on to this day. And that came out of gratitude from when he went into remission. Well, a year later, after every 90 days of going back, and now he's looking healthy again, he's got him, he's just looking great.
Mm-hmm.
So one year almost to the day, we were in the doctor's office, and he had just gone through and gotten his scans again and tests, and the doctor walked in, and we could tell by the look on the doctor's face that he did not have good news. And he said, Nick, it's back. And it's not in your sinuses, it's on your pancreas and your spleen. And it's very fast growing. This was on a Wednesday. He said, it's very fast growing, and you need to be in the hospital tomorrow.
Mm.
And Nick looked at him for a second, and of course Lori and I were devastated.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick looked at him and said, all right. He says, I fought this battle once, but he said, I'm not coming in tomorrow. He says, I'll come in on Monday. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, book that skydiving trip. He had always had that on his list. And so I called a friend of mine that knew somebody in San Diego who was a Navy SEAL. And we flew to San Diego. And as luck would have it, it was raining on that Saturday. And we couldn't jump that day. And of course, the next day was Easter. And we took a tour of the Navy facilities, and it was going to be Hell Week for the Navy SEALs. And I'm watching my son going out there because they let him go through the obstacle course that they use with the Navy SEALs, and they let him pick up the logs. And I'm looking at him, and here he is, 19 years old. He's throwing these logs around. He's climbing on this thing. He's healthy, and I'm thinking, here he is on a Saturday. And Monday, we're going to put him back in the hospital again and start blasting him with these chemicals and radiation that can kill him, and it was just an eerie feeling. I was so grateful for his strength, but also knowing what lay ahead of him.
Yes.
But the person that we were talking to said he called his family and he said, even though it's Easter tomorrow, they said it's going to be a beautiful day here in San Diego, and if you guys can stay over, we'll jump first thing in the morning. So we called the family and said, how do you feel about us coming home late on Easter? And they said, no problem.
Beautiful.
So early in the morning on Easter of that year. Nick, this is 2008, so the next year, Nick did a double somersault on the back. The Navy SEAL was on his back. They were tandem.
Mm-hmm.
Double
mm-hmm.
somersault out of this airplane. They did all these tricks coming down. They came down, landed. He pops up. Here's this 6'2", 6'3" kid, skinny as can be, but strong as can be, with a big grin on his face. Then he said, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready. And then began the next phase of everything that he went through.
What
but
a
out
story.
Of that, he developed three things that over time that he developed that he said that allows him to overcome obstacles. And he says, you have to have a bigger future. You have to have something big to look forward to. If you don't have something big to look forward to, then it's very hard to fight your current battles. But if you have something big to look forward to, then you can get through your present agony. He said, I'm not putting them in the right order. Let me back up, put them in the right order. He said, the first thing that you do is you have to express your gratitude through service to others.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you've got to give back. But you can't give back by just saying thank you or just saying I'm grateful or just saying, or just writing a check or something. You have to be in active service. And one of the things that I saw out of this experience, not only with Nick and with Lori, because Lori was amazing. I mean, Lori and Nick, how they worked together quietly behind the scene to help others, to help others that were living with tragedies or living with cancer or living with some other thing, how they quietly helped and inspired others without anybody knowing about it. But I also had the opportunity where my eyes were opened to see the human spirit in ways that I'd never seen before. And I'm so grateful for that, because not only the people that were battling the cancer or battling whatever trials they have in life, but the anonymous caregivers that would arise out of nowhere and just often be there to support people I'd never would have seen if my eyes hadn't been open to it. Mm-hmm. And we watched that happen, and I think a lot of it was when Nick was of service to others, then he was able to take his mind off of the challenges and the
challenges.
Problems that he had.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was number one. Number two, then, was to have a bigger future, because he knew that if he had something exciting, so he would set these outrageous things to do, like, you know, he once he got to riding and roping, he wanted to be on a roundup of buffalo, and lo and behold, you know, he put it out there, and he was able to be chosen, and he actually went out on this island and with these wranglers and actually wrangled up a bunch of buffalo, and they just had an amazing experience. And so then that's how he jumped out of the airplane. That's how he did the. That's how he became an apprentice on the professional hockey team. He had something big to look forward to.
Right. He made a decision, yes.
Exactly. Woo. And the third thing was that to have fun. He said, you know, you have to have fun. And so we spent a lot of time renting movies that did nothing more than make you laugh. And we did a lot of laughing, laughing. And so those three things, you know, the give back, be of service to others anonymously. Mm-hmm. When you're in the service of others, then you're able to take your, you know, you're able to not be so focused on yourself. The second thing is have a big future to look forward to. And then the third thing was have fun. Laugh.
Beautiful. Amazing. Amazing tools to put in our toolkit, because, you know, I have observed many people who think, although they are getting up each day, they're breathing oxygen and they are still occupying space here on the earth, their pulse is beating, they still can't find anything to be grateful for. But I've liked what Nick has said, to express gratitude, but not only for what we have and what we are experiencing, but we need to do it in the form of service to others. And service to others, it really does not take a lot. It doesn't mean that you have to hop on a plane and go to a foreign country. I mean, if you walk to the end of your street, there are so many people there that you can give help to. You know, and
sometimes it's just a smile.
Yes.
Sometimes
just
it's just a
smile.
Thank you, you know, but to the right person at the right time.
Yes. Yes, and I it's a habit of mine to just smile at folks, because you never know, maybe that smile is the first they have had in quite a long period. So it
well,
doesn't
but I, let
take
me say something,
lot.
Daphne. Your
yeah.
smile should be licensed. It's a dangerous weapon.
Yes. Thank you, Lee. Thank
your
you.
Smile
you know.
Make, your smile makes knees buckle. You've got to stop it. So that's a,
oh,
you know, you
thank
have to be
you
careful
so
where
much.
You use that.
You know, God's been good to me, and I tell you, we never know. One of the women at the Awesomeness Fest wrote me a sugar cube, and she had me crying. Because there I was sitting on the at that tall table outside the bar, just observing people going and coming, because I enjoy people watching. And she came up to me, and she didn't even have her name tag on, so I didn't know that she was part of our tribe. And she told me her name, and I realized she said she was here for the event. And we just began talking, and she said, I know I must talk to you, and I really don't know why. And it ended up that in a lot of the activities, when we stayed over for Lisa's one day, a lot of the activities we worked on together, and we were able to help each other to get some great breakthroughs in certain things. And she wrote me this sugar cube and said, you know, the first day, when our eyes connect, she said it was as if she was connecting with a long-lost friend. And it was a blessing for me to hear that, because there I was. I went to that event. The only person I knew was Lisa. I didn't know anybody else. And now I left that event with so many family members and people who I can help to change the world with. So it is such a blessing. And as you say, one little smile, it really doesn't cost us anything. It's just for us to be alert and be observant of who is around us and see when it is needed. It might be a hug. It might be a high five. It might be a tom touch. Whatever it is, we can do that. So, Lee, let's talk about the other seven siblings. What impact has this legacy left on them? Have they been awakened in any different ways from before?
Well, I think everybody deals with it differently, Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we've seen there are some of the children, you know, some of the brothers and sisters were closer to him because of mm-hmm. age than
yes.
some of the other ones. And I think that, but even to this day, you know, we see our youngest, who is now 17, and she's mm-hmm. just an amazing young lady. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's a great student. She's a senior in high school, the same age that Nick was when he got sick, and she's a,
mm-hmm.
she's a great athlete. And, mm-hmm. you know, just the other day we saw posted on Facebook, and she very seldom ever talks about her brother. She doesn't like to bring it up amongst friends because then mm-hmm. she doesn't like the awkward conversation of what happened and or
mm-hmm.
when she meets new people and stuff. You know, she's been very
yeah.
reluctant that way. But then
mm-hmm.
we saw just posted that, you know, she had a picture of her softball helmet, and she's been, you know, she's played softball for as long as we can remember, and she's won
mm-hmm.
all these All-State honors, and she's very good, but she put a note on there. She's saying that I play for my brother, that there isn't a day goes by that I don't think about
it. Oh,
and
he's looking down on her. Oh.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, and we have a sister right now, another sister that's serving a religious mission in Australia,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and she's been over there now for over a year, and about 13, 14 months, and she frequently talks about how she's inspired by the work that she's doing and reflects upon Nick with fond memories. And, you know, you talk about closure earlier, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we really want closure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's times when, you know, I do a lot of coaching and teaching and workshops, mm-hmm. and I remember mm-hmm. one time in particular where the group that I had about 40 business owners in the room, and
mm-hmm.
none of them knew the story about Nick, and
mm-hmm.
but they asked about family traditions, and I started
mm-hmm.
to explain one of our family traditions, and
mm-hmm.
as I did so, we have a tradition. In fact, we're coming upon it right now. I might share it with your listeners. It's a great tradition, but we do something called Thanksmas, combine Thanksgiving and Christmas for a gathering with our entire family, and we do it on the first Saturday of December. And that way, when you start getting family, your children get married, you know, they always have a dilemma, whose house do we go to? And sometimes they just want to stay home,
That's
you know?
Right.
And so,
mm-hmm.
this way, we give them one date where we all get together at our house, and we celebrate a number of traditions together. And one of the traditions is we take a big tablecloth, and it's like a white linen tablecloth, and between Thanksgiving and the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
All of our family that comes by our house, they trace their hand on the tablecloth.
Ah.
And they write their name, and then they write the essence of a story that they're grateful for, an experience that they're grateful for that happened during the last 12 months. So it's not just what they're thankful for, but they write the name of the experience that they're grateful for that they had in the last 12 months. So we've been doing this now for 8 or 9 years. And we can get about, we have a big family, but if we use a big tablecloth and we use every square inch of it, and I mean we get everybody, the little babies trace their hand, the kids come back the next year and they measure their hand to see if it's grown. You know, sometimes girlfriends get on there, or boyfriends, and they're saying, oh, I can't believe they were on there last year. You know, but then we put them up so they can read them. And so that's coming up in another, a week from this, be 2 weeks from yesterday, we'll be doing our next Thanksgiving.
So excuse me, Lee, what you do, you have those tablecloths mounted in a special room, or you frame them? What do you do?
Well, they're big enough. What we do is, and what happens if a family can't make it, we have to ship the tablecloth to them so that they can all put their hand on
it. Oh,
and like,
I love
it. Like my father, My father passed away this last April.
I'm sorry.
And on the back of his funeral program, we copied his hand and put it on the back with the story, the last story that he had
that he
shared with us.
Wow, and, what a legacy.
So it's been, and then, so, and it's really fun to go back and see, like, Nick's hand on there.
Yeah.
And I'll see Lori every once in a while placing her hand on top of his hand. And
oh.
just remembering, you know, the good things that are happening.
Wow.
So I was explaining this to the group, and
yes.
As I was talking, all of a sudden I could see Nick tracing his hand, and I lost it. I mean, I just, and of course, I had to turn my back to the room because
wow.
it just overwhelmed me. And
wow.
So, but in that moment, I'm probably the group of executives, the business owners that were sitting there saying, wow, he really gets sentimental about his tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
know, but I so appreciate Oof. The unexpected waves that come mm-hmm. periodically because they are special.
Exactly.
We don't
exactly.
want closure. We want it to continue.
No, that's right.
But
and that's right. That's right. And that's, you know, that's part of us being vulnerable. Because even as business people, our story and on us being vulnerable is really what brings our clients closer to us. Because they realize they are genuine and they're unique, you know, and they
mm-hmm.
can connect with you. I love that tradition. And because sometimes you go to families and even around the holidays, they'll buy expensive gifts and everything like that. But come the 1st of January, people are still bickering at each other and they're not enjoying
yeah.
each other's company. So I love that tradition. Just give me a few minutes, Lee. Please take a drink of water. I want to welcome guests 3009 to the show. 2998 to the show. Feel welcome to call 646-915-8166 with your questions. And for those of you who are on the phone, you are welcome to call in 646-915-8166. And now a word from our sponsors.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell-Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
And for us, if you are not yet connected with me on social media, I am on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all of them. All you need to do is to Google Daphne Clark Hudson, and I welcome all of your connection. And in the meantime, please check out my website at clarkhudson.com, clarkhudson.com. Just check me out there and sign up. We are giving away 30 minutes of complimentary coaching. So just go right there to my website and sign up. Plus, as you go there, you'll see I am part of two summits coming up early in December. One, I'll be talking about knowing your why, and the other one, I'll be part of the summit from bashful to badass. So I look forward for your support there. Now back to my new friend, Mr. Libor.
Hello, Daphne.
Highly, yes, we have only 45 minutes remaining. I want to encourage the people that they can call in at any time, 646-915-8166. If you have a similar experience that you would like to share about your adversities and how you have come out rejoicing and really enjoying and sharing that experience, and you see it as a good versus a bad, let us hear from you. So now, Lee, we left talking about the siblings and what they're all doing now, and knowing that we really don't need closure, but as I had said, you know, we just need to find the satisfying moment that kind of cover and put a block over the hurt, and we can continue. Because I'm sure that as you wake up every day, and especially you just think about Nick's hand on that tablecloth, and it brought tears to your eyes, because you look back and you said, I really don't have any regrets, because he lived a full life. And I like how he took control. He did not allow the devastation of the doctors to get to him. He knew that if he had gone in tomorrow as they requested, there would be a great possibility that he would be too weak to go do that job. So he said, I'm coming in Monday. And look, the universe provide for him to get his jump before he went in.
Right. Right. You know, and I think we have so much to learn from Nick and other people like him, you know, in terms of how they deal. The human spirit's just an amazing, you know, people say, well, I could never do that. Well, I could never
don't
do that.
Don't know.
Well, the reality is you can do that.
And that's right.
It's the godness, the godlikeness that's in us, in each one of us. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to what it can do, and we should not let, you know, it's just too bad that we let our minds and our thoughts limit our growth and limit the things that we can do in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we put our own limits on ourselves. And it gets back to what I was saying earlier, always make your learning greater than the experience. You know, the one thing we can never change in this life are the facts of the things that happen. You know, we can't change the facts in our past. Cannot change them. What we have control over then is the interpretation of those facts.
Of those facts. And, wonderful.
And how can, you know, so as time goes on, we will continue to learn from the experiences that we have. And when they're going through them, we just don't get it. You know what I mean? I mean, when you're going through, it's impossible to get it. You're just praying that you'll remove this suffering from your son. You're praying that, that life can get back to the way that it was. And we don't get it. And but I think as we move along and we continue to experience life, we continue to get the wisdom of our learning, then we start to interpret the experiences different that we've had in our past. And I expect that we'll continue to learn on it. I think that we'll learn more and more and more things from this as time goes on.
Yes, and I think majority of the anxiety comes when we are fearful of those things. But as you say, when we are open to the learning and to the lessons, we're going to find joy in each moment, regardless of what is happening. What would you like to tell families or individuals who are possibly faced with similar adversities right now, and they are just standing at the crossroad of turmoil, and they don't have any support. They don't have the faith like the borrowers have. They don't have the patience. Where do you suggest that they begin, Lee?
Well, some of this comes to my faith, and that is that I truly believe we're never alone. Mm-hmm. I believe that that God is always there to support us, and he'll never leave us. Mm-hmm. And he'll always be there, sometimes only in the nick of time, but he's always there. It's maybe us that have removed ourselves from him. And so I think that's the first thing. And I think that one of the things, we call it going big and in our family and the work that we do. And going big means to begin in gratitude. Mm-hmm. How do we stay in gratitude in spite of everything that's going? And, you know, and I think one of the great ways to do that is that you try to One of the things I know, now this is a hint more than a philosophy, but a hint that I think helped us tremendously. And I know that, you know, when a mother loses their son, it's just not right that you have to, you know, bury your children. It's just not it's just not the natural progression of things, you know. And for a mother to lose her son and to go through what they go through, one of the things that I know really helped Lori was writing about it, to be able to continue to write. Because that's how some of the learning happened. At the moment, just getting your feelings out and your expressions and the things that are out there. And so it's been over 2 years since he passed. And he passed away 2 years ago this last June. But I've seen her go back into her writing and gain greater understandings by going back in her writings and prayerfully approach them and say, what have I learned from that? And she had so many things that she forgot, wonderful things. Wonderful experiences that had she not written them down, would have lost them.
Right.
And some of the things were just human. I mean, you know, you probably had to censor some of her. You know, some of the things that she said is she talked about cancer and being mad, and but she just, you know, being able to express that anger, to be able to express the gratitude at the right time, to express the fun things that they did. All of that was an important, every single bit of that was an important part of that whole experience, and every single bit of it carried with it learning that at some point in the future, at some point in the future will be of value. I remember a moment that I certainly do not want to forget, but this is one that was so important to write down. There was a time when a good friend of ours, who the year before Nick got cancer, he was in a... he was on a four-wheeler with his family on a tour, and as they were coming to the end of the tour, he hit a rock, and it rolled over, and he broke his neck, and he's paralyzed from the chest down. And I've just marveled at his gratitude, marveled at the strength that he has. Now, he's gone out, and he's competed to raise money for spinal research, and he's raised thousands of dollars to help rehab homes for other victims that get paralyzed because they got to, you know, they got to lower their counters down and build ramps to get into the house and to move around. He just dedicated himself much the same way that Nick did, you know, to giving of service to others. And then out of nowhere, he's got two gorgeous little children, a wonderful wife, and his wife gets cervical cancer. And you're like, oh, my gosh, how does he deal with this? And I remember sitting down with Lori and Nick and I were sitting at our dining room table, and as we were talking about that, and Nick had the opportunity to meet him. He lives in San Diego. We're in Utah, but he had the opportunity to meet Eric, and so we were talking about him, and I said, you know, can you believe this? I said, you know, there's a poem, there's a story, it's a fable about how God granted this wish that everybody could take their problems and throw them in a big pile. And then you could go pick the problem out that you wanted to take. In other words, you don't have to take your problem back. You could take any problem you wanted out of there. But as the fable goes along, when it was all said and done, everybody came in and took their own problem back.
Because
they looked
not,
at everybody else's.
And it's always great. Wow. I love that.
I saw Nick very contemplative as he was sitting there thinking. And then he said, and this is one of the few times that I saw him get emotional. But he said, he looked at it and he said, you know, he said, I wouldn't bring mine back. I wouldn't take mine back. And in my heart, I understood completely why he said that.
What he said.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
And
wow.
I just said, I understood. And then I could see he was still thinking it through. And then he said, unless it meant that somebody else had to take mine, then I would take it.
Wow. What
and
a
so,
wow.
To me, that moment and that learning right there, for me, how valuable is that experience?
Yes,
it
is.
In the future, how valuable is that experience going to be when we share that with our children, when we share that with our grandchildren? How valuable of an experience is that, a learning experience is that going to be for us as we cherish those things that we wrote down and we remember? So, any of your listeners that are going through a tough time, prayer, share, be willing to share your problems so that other people can help you. People love to help, and we tend to keep our problems to ourselves. But people love to reach out and help.
Yes.
And then thirdly, write down how you feel, the good, the bad.
And
you know,
the ugly.
When you feel appreciative, when you feel just horrible, like the whole world is caving in on you, write it down. And then it's going to be a great teacher for you at some point in the future. Plus, it's extremely therapeutic in the moment.
Oh, yes. I am such an advocate for journaling. And I know that there are a lot of men out there, they're not comfortable with journaling because they say, oh, it's so touchy-feely. But I tell you, it's so therapeutic. It's so girly, you know. I tell my male clients, I say, well, get one that is the size of your billfold, then you won't know. You won't know it's a journal, but it's amazing when you begin to write. It's like it flushes out and it just opens you up and gives you for 4 years ago and you look into there and you say, wow, it's just amazing. So the Waki Foundation.
Okay. So we started Waki, and Waki started out, he came home and he laid one on my wife and he says, we have to start doing something. We need to do an event that we can raise some money at. And we're like, well, what? You know, what are we going to do? And he said, the only thing we knew, you know, sports-wise, was softball, because we had our youngest two daughters are playing softball.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing we knew was softball. And so we decided we were going to do a softball tournament. And so... Nick got behind it, and Lori, of course, got behind it. And Lori is kind of spearheaded and does most of the work. But the very first year, we had a little softball tournament out at the fairgrounds, and we just had a few teams, 14 or 15 teams, and the girls all dressed Waki, and they dyed their hair and dyed their shirts, and they just came, and Nick gave them a prize, and they had a little bit of a tournament, and we got people to pledge money for the total number of runs scored. So then we had to tell the umpires, if it's a close at home, they have to be safe. You can't call them out because it costs the foundation money. So they were letting girls come in.
This is supposed to be for fun and raising funds.
Yeah, but it's changed over the years. Now it's probably the premier girl softball event. We had 44 teams, I think, this last year, 44 teams. We've had teams come in from outside of the state of Utah to participate. The coaches dress up Waki. The girls dress up. And these are the highest level of competition. So these are not just girls doing it. These are the high level of competition. So they come, and we end up having skills contests. The fun thing we did the last 2 years is we created a dunking booth. And when your team gets disqualified, it's a double elimination tournament, and when they lose, then the losing coaches have to go over to the dunking booth, and then the girls on the team get their parents to buy balls, softballs that they throw at the dunking booth and dunk their coach. And it just turned out to be just a lot of fun. And so that's how it started. But since then, we've had people from around the country. The very first year it started, we had some people from Nashville call up and say, we want to do a marathon and we want to do it Waki, but you guys have got to come. Well, I'd never run a marathon in my life. And I thought, well, what could I say? You know, I had to say yes. And so I ran my first marathon in Nashville. Nick was going to run because he was in remission at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had the date wrong. He relapsed in 2009. Because he went 2008, he got creamed, and then in 2009 is when he relapsed. So he relapsed. He'd been training to go to Nashville with us in race, but he relapsed right before that. So we ended up, a friend of mine was pushing a wheelchair for his sister who had cancer. And so we put Nick's tag, his running number, on top of that.
So he technically
finished the race, but it was because somebody was pushing him in an empty wheelchair. But so that was our first marathon. We've had different people for us. We just had a young man just completed a triathlon, and he wanted to do it Waki, so he got Waki shirts for all of his supporters, and they raised about $11,000, just one guy, just getting tons of sponsors to do it. We've done, last year I ran 11 half marathons and two full marathons. I finished off in Orlando doing what is called the Goofy, which is a half marathon the first day, a full marathon the next day. And then in June this last year, we did a relay of 198-mile race running with a team that we relayed on, going over the mountains, you know, over two tops of two ski resorts. It took us 30 hours. But these have all been things that Lori's been intimately involved with. She doesn't like to run, but she'll get involved. She'll do the 5Ks, or she's been out helping, you know, out on the road, and, you know, supporting in all the ways that she can and making these things happen. And but as a result of it, by throwing ourselves into this kind of activity as well, and being able to support some amazing causes, you know, this has been an absolute wonderful thing for us to do as well. So I think that's kept our minds focused on things that we're doing good, and we feel Nick's presence around us as we're doing it, and we know that this is something that he actually loved and would have encouraged us to do.
Yes, so. And his spirit and his goodwill lives on. I know Lori says she didn't want to talk, but I'm going to open her line to ask her whether she wants to say something, and if she doesn't want, then I'll close it back.
Okay, well, I know she's on headphones. I think she's upstairs, so she'll have to take her headphones off to answer, see if, I don't know if she can get on or not.
Oh, no, but she can hear on the headphone when I open her line.
I know, but she's got to be able to talk. So.
Oh, okay.
It's
all
just
right,
earphones,
so
it's not the other, so she'll have to make a change. Oh, here.
Okay, so then I'll just leave her. I won't interrupt her then.
Well, try and see if she...
All right. Okay, Miss Lori, can you hear me? Oh, I just closed her back. I'm opening her.
She's
Hi,
coming
Lori.
On right now.
Hi, Lori. How are you? Do you want to say anything? You want to add anything to what your lovely husband said?
she's not shy. Give her a second.
She sounded like she was far away. Oh, it's amazing. If you're just joining, I'm on with Mr. Lee Bauer, and he's sharing his story about his son, Nick. Who went home, what is it now, two and a half years ago or something? How many years
is
that? Yeah, two and a half years ago. And yeah, he's just sharing about the legacy. So I'm just waiting to see whether or not his mother have anything she want to add to this conversation. But remember, guys, you're welcome to call in 646-915-8166. Call in, ask your questions. I know you must have some burning questions. If you have any experiences you want to share, we want to hear from you too. Yes, are you there, Lori? Okay, so we continue talking,
she's
Lee,
talking,
until
she's
she comes.
She's talking. You need to plug her in. She's talking. I hear her talking.
Oh, I have her open. Okay,
but
no.
I don't hear.
Oh,
I can hear
no,
her.
No. I'm sorry, Lee. I have you open and Shibla. I'm sorry, Lori. Lori, are you there? I apologize.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry. I went back to Lee and I had you on mute. Yes, what would you like from a mother's point of view to add, if anything?
What has Lee not mentioned? He was spot on when he talked about writing. That was very good as a mom. That's,
yeah.
I mean, regardless if your thoughts are crazy or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Wacky Foundation has just been very, very healing. Because we involve our local cancer community too. So now with our softball tournaments, we have a lot of our local cancer children. We have posters made of them so that each team has an actual tangible child that they're playing for.
Oh,
and that
nice.
Makes a difference.
Yes.
It is.
Yes,
it's very
I
sweet.
Love
so the
that.
The girls get it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I just honor you for all that you have been doing for your community. And I get excited when I hear about people who like to write, because I'm an avid journaling person. And I enjoy doing that, because nothing heals better than when you put your pen to paper. So I was glad to get some kind of affirmation to that. Would you have any word of encouragement for a mother? I want to welcome guest 3650 to the show. Let me know if you have any questions for my honored guest. Do you have any word of encouragement, Lori, for any mother who is listening other than the writing?
Accept help. That was a very hard thing for me to do because as moms, we have a tendency to think we can do it all, and sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself. But Nick was very helpful, and just he would say, yes, thank you, in my behalf. And then, but because so many people do want to help, if they want to bring over dinner, just say thank you. If they want to go change your oil, if they want to mow your lawn, it's just
appreciate
so many people.
Yep.
Let them help.
Yeah. Because sometimes pride and ego can get into the way of you accepting your blessing. And that's something we have to learn to do.
You're just so exhausted that to even think of how to coordinate it or, you know, just one more thing to think about is just too much. But it really isn't. But your mind makes it more difficult than it is.
Yes. Well, thank you, Lori. If there's nothing else you want to say, I'm going to go back to your lovely husband.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. You're very welcome.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we are back. I'm back to you, Lee.
Okay. I just turned it all over to her. I'm just fine with that. So.
She was. Oh, it's too funny. I asked Lori the other day, would you like to share the conversation? She says, oh, no, I don't have any bio and any picture. that was too cute. I say, oh, you don't need any bio or picture. Oh, my Lord.
Well, it's fine that she got one. That's what I told her. I said, you need to start getting one because she does do a wonderful job when she speaks with everybody. Comes up afterwards and they talk about how much they really appreciated listening to her. And so I'm just kind of, once she takes over, I'm in the background. She does a marvelous job. So.
Oh, it's wonderful.
But,
that's a blessing, such a blessing.
You know, one of the things that we've learned, I think, from this too, I just might want to share, and I don't know, you know, one of the that out of it, a cause that kind of became bigger than itself was the fact that this demographic of young adults, which is like 18 to the mid-30s, that demographic in the last 40 years, the mortality rate for cancer has not gone down. And so it's kind of a forgotten demographic, and people don't know exactly why. They know that there's not enough money being raised for research is one of the reasons. But the other reasons they think are social cycle reasons because, you know, you look at Nick, the time that he got cancer, just graduated from high school, all of his friends are leaving, they're heading off to school. You know, it's kind of an awkward thing. You lose your hair. How do you ask to go out on a date? You know, so you're constantly going through this. And for Nick was very fortunate to have some really good friends that stayed by him. And even though they might have traveled to school, they stayed in touch with him. And that was a real blessing. So, you know, and he was really open about sharing, you know, that he had cancer. He didn't keep it a secret. He just said, you know, I have cancer. So, you know, that's the way it is. I'm a little bit. I'm not going to. And so as time went on, one of the things that he did that was very helpful was he got involved in supporting these groups. So he went, First Descents, for example. That's First Descent. So think of descent as, that's what they call it when the first time you go over a waterfall in a kayak. It's called a first descent.
Okay,
and so,
first descent, yeah. I have a friend that teaches kayak, and I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's the name of the group. There's a group of young men who have an affinity towards young adult cancer. One of the young men's aunt had gotten cancer when he was a young boy, and he did everything he could help her, and then he became the world's leading kayaker, the number one kayaker in the world. He took his aunt out kayaking and taught her how to barrel roll and how to do some of the things in a kayak, and she just loved it. So then he started setting up a camp. He thought, well, I'll invite more young adults to it. So now they're doing over 1,000 campers every year that they take out and teach them how to kayak. They get them going down and doing their first descent over waterfalls. and then they've added to that rock climbing, and they've added skiing, surfing to that as well.
Wow.
And so what happens is you get these young adults coming together, and some of them really have no support, not even from their parents.
Parents,
the support's
right.
coming from their parents. They might be saying, well, you ought to do this, or you ought to do that, or this is what you ought to do. And that becomes very difficult for them. So this becomes a place where they take them in groups of up to about 15, and they'll challenge them with something that's very difficult, but these young adults then have something in common. When you're talking to somebody, a young adult that's living with cancer, what are you going to say to them? You know what I mean? When they start telling you about their procedures, and some of them are just not conversational. You don't go
that's
to a
right.
cocktail party and start talking about some gross thing that you just had done.
Surgery. No.
But
and
when you're talking to each other, they get along
common.
And they have somebody they can laugh with and they can make it happen.
Somebody who understands.
So,
yes.
Exactly. So that's one of the things that Nick really loved. And even right up till 6 weeks before he passed, when he was still very weak, he went to a rock climbing camp in Moab, Utah, and just had an amazing experience there. So Lori and I, on the anniversary of his death, the first year anniversary, we went and we became camp parents at that
camp. By that camp, yes.
And so that experience itself, when you see, for example, when you watch, in this case, the 15 young adults come in this case there was a 31-year-old woman that's a special education teacher from South Dakota. She's double mastectomy, stage 4 cancer. And she comes in there, and she's obviously soft and not in great physical shape. She's been going through chemo and all this other stuff. And she comes out, and she starts to climb up a rock wall. And she's there with these most amazing, heartfelt, top professionals in rock climbing. And they're teaching her how to climb, and she gives it her all. I mean, 1,000%.
Wow.
And she gets up, and her fingertips are getting blistered from the hot sun on the rocks, and she's still climbing. And at the end of the day, she comes down with this huge smile on her face. I made it 15 feet today.
Beautiful.
And tomorrow I'm going to go higher.
Wow.
And we watched them as they went through this. And the last day, watched them climb up to the top of one of these arches, you know, from the Arches National Parks. You've seen these great big arches. And then rappel down 150 feet off that arch to the ground. Just tears in their eyes because they're scared to death. But they overcome that fear
and come
down. It's just amazing. And so we know that Nick got a lot of gratification out of that. TBS came out and did a special on First Ascent, and they featured Nick. We didn't know that they were featuring him like they did. And it ended up being broadcast nationally about 2 months after he passed. And we forgot about it. We didn't even know about it, really. And we got a DVD from them saying this is going to be broadcast next week. And so,
because
to our surprise,
you're not doing it for accolades. That's wonderful. Wow.
No, not at all. But 2 months after he passed, we get this video, and then it got broadcast, you know, on nationally across the United States. But we got this video ahead of time, and we watched it. And at the very end of it is our son, and he's sitting in a kayak in our garage. And we didn't even know that they had taken this picture. And he's looking in the camera and he says, you know, I've never asked why me.
Wow.
I've only asked what can I do to help others get through what they're going through.
Wow.
And this was 6 weeks before he passed.
That is
powerful. And they dedicated the whole series to him at the end of it. You know, at the end of it. So he made, in 4 years' time, he did more than most people do in a lifetime.
In a lifetime.
We're very grateful for those 4 years because some people, you know, their tragedy is immediate. You don't get that run-up time. But other people say, well, yeah, but how did you live with for 4 years going through the ups and the downs and all of the chemo and the radiation and he's getting better, he's not getting better, and all of that stuff? How did you live through that? Well, we're so grateful that we had the opportunity to do that.
To live through that and the many enlightening experiences that you can share now to help somebody else. Lee, we have 15 minutes and 20 seconds remaining. How would you like to summarize this conversation tonight?
Well, thank you for asking. I'm not sure I know exactly how to summarize it. This is the first time that I've ever spent I've given little glimpses of the experiences. I've talked about other things, but this is the first time when I've had the blessing to be able to just sit down and chat with somebody about kind of the overall experience.
Yes, thank you for that.
And you know, and what really has happened there. So thank you for allowing me this, because it's been helpful to reflect upon, you know, what the contribution that Nick has made in not only our lives, but in the lives of many people. We got a letter today to give you an example. Here's a letter, over 2.5 years letter from a neighbor that talked about every time she goes by the house. And our neighbors were so incredibly, you know, Wacky had its own colors, and they decorated the entire neighborhood, I mean, for blocks away from the road, just covered with ribbons all the way to our house, and they decorated our house with the color of the Wacky ribbons after Nikki passed. But this person just expressed so much gratitude for just getting to know Nick, and this is a wonderful neighbor family that has their own children that are now the same age as Nick was when he passed, and who just says, you know, how rich their life is, and they have this little daughter that they've adopted from China, and she looks in there, she sees these little, you know, pictures and memorabilia from when Nick was there, and she just she asked questions about him, you know, and as we've gone around, and we were in Dallas about a month ago, and 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and we did a race there, and we gave an award to a year ago, we gave our first award, what we call the Nick's Warrior, it's called the Nick's Warriors Courage Award, and the Wacky Courage Award, and it's given to survivors or people that are currently living with cancer. And so the little girl who's lost her father, we gave the award to the mother and to this little girl, and she's now 5, but to hear her talk about how Nick is up there with her daddy. And of course, she never knew Nick. I mean, she's in Dallas, and we're not in the area, but she knows of Nick, and she knows about who he was and what he's doing. And so, you know, my thoughts are very simple, and that is that there's a lesson here for everybody. I know that as life goes on, we all have experiences. This is our past, and our past belongs to us. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And if we can't find a way, when we think about the experiences in our past, if they don't serve our future, let them go. But ask ourselves, what do we learn from this? How can we learn more? Knowing what we know now, can we learn more? Having more experiences then and let time pass. Knowing what we know now, can we learn more? And let this experience in life be part of this perfect experience of learning. Because this is the way that God gives us this opportunity to learn, is from our own experiences, and we wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't grow. If we didn't have these trials, if we didn't have these sad experiences or the happy experiences or some of the successes, then we'd all just stay the same. We'd all be the same all the time. And how boring would that be? And so this gives us the opportunity to really, you know, to really grow, to live every second, to grow every second, and to celebrate our past and to own our past. And we can only then do that with having a bigger future. So if we can look out and be able to see our potential, then that helps us get through our present agonies. That vision of the future sustains our present agony, and we learn from our past. So use your future to inspire us. Use our future to motivate us. Use our past to learn, to get the wisdom from, so that we can make our present better. That's really what we've learned through this.
Amazing. You know, it's such an honor and a privilege for me to have shared these past few minutes with you, and for you to just allow me to enter those intimate places with you and your family, and just to share this insight about Nick. I'm so honored. I'm so thankful that I was able to make this platform available for you, Lee. And if ever you want a place to talk about Wacky, anything that Wacky is doing, and you think that I can help you to get the word out, I want you to know that I'm only a phone call away. And
I feel that already. Thank you very much. Yes. You're very genuine. Yes. Your friendship is genuine. And
thank you.
You know that I felt that. I told you that from the minute I met you. So
thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored, and I know I can call you friend from a most authentic place of my core being. I feel it. I see you, and I honor
I
you.
See you.
And yes, I am so thankful. I'm so thankful, and I thank your wife for the light that she's holding for mothers to be able to hold on even when they can't see what they're holding on to, but to know that the love that we all hold for those that are dear to us in our heart is strong enough to really help us over the steepest mountain. Do you have some contact information for Wacky you want to share, Lee?
Yeah, you can go to wackywarriors.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the website, and or you can contact Lori direct, you know, by going to Lori at Empowered Wealth, EmpoweredWealth.com. But wackywarriors.org is the website, and you can contact her directly through that website, or you can contact her at her email, which is empoweredwealth.com. And when we talk about wealth, empowered wealth, we're not talking about the financial riches. We're talking about the riches of our families, the riches of our experiences, mm-hmm. the riches of how we give back. And so that's what
that's
we
right.
term as empowered wealth.
That's right. It's wealth in totality, you know.
Yes.
Wealth and riches are two different things. And, this is
yes.
what our people need to understand. I mean, you can be successful and extremely wealthy and you're still not rich. So you need
there
to
you
be
go.
Hanging out with us so you can know what the definitions are. And so honored. I'm so honored to have spent this time again with you. I mean, what a touching story. I know this is going to be a powerful, powerful download for many families to share with their families and friends that and give them just something to hold on to and know that it doesn't matter how dark a situation seems, there's always lessons there to be learned only if we take the time to dissect that experience and take the lessons out. Sometimes the lessons are for us and sometimes they are not. Take what's yours and put the rest aside so somebody else can take advantage of that. Well, Lee, I want to wish you a happy... what's the event again where you combine Christmas and Thanksgiving? What do you call it?
We call that Thanksmas. We just combine
Thanksmas.
The two together.
Thanksmas, yeah, you know. Because the Jewish people this year, what is it now? Hanukkah and Thanksgiving
Hanukkah.
Is coming... And Thanksgiving is also coming on the same day. So I'm having the conversation with my Jewish friends. What are you going to eat? Are you going to have the Hanukkah meal or the Thanksgiving meal? So they're going
right.
to come by the bowl. Yeah, they have
a, they have a,
of
they have a choice this year.
Yeah, they have a choice. They can either combine or they can say, well, we're just going to do either or. Listen, we live in
yeah.
an amazing world. Well, Lee... Thank you. I look forward to speaking with you real soon on my birthday. We're going to talk about some business. And,
that'll be fun.
Yes. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. Happy hand stamping and everything like that.
Well, thank you. And you likewise enjoy the holidays. And I'll talk to you on your birthday.
Yes, sir. Thank you very, very, very much. And for those
okay.
of you who just joined us, we are sorry that you signed on late, but you can always check in on the archives. Download it on your smartphone. We are on iTunes. We are all over. Share the link to everybody that you know because this is a conversation that you need to share. Remember that you were created for a destiny. You never know how your destiny will impact the lives of others. So you, from I have a happy Thanksgiving.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.